As sports history fans, we often reminisce about the legends. Willis Reed limping on to the NBA Finals court, Curt Schilling's bloody sock, Kerry Strug's courageous dismount, and so many more. These moments often define sports history. But what about the countless injuries that did not become legends, or careers that were derailed due to inadequate care? That's where this episode's sponsor comes in. Introducing to you, ILP Sports Consultants, your trusted sports injury partner, available 24/7. Brian Maielli at ILP Sports Consultants has over 20 years of experience in the orthopedic and sports medicine industry, and he has worked with athletes across the gamut, from youth to amateurs, professionals, in almost every sport played in the United States of America, accommodating athletes at every stage of their career. This adaptability ensures that ILP services are perfectly tailored to your skill level, no matter where you are in your athletic journey. With ILP, you are in control. Choose the steps that matter most to you: diagnosis, treatment plan, recovery, or the whole journey. ILP services are tailored to your unique needs. Rushing for care is a common pitfall, leading to future problems. ILP Sports Consultants helps you make the right decisions, ensuring that you receive timely and safe care. And here's a bonus. Brian hosts the Injured List podcast, sharing insights and athlete stories you won't want to miss. Whether you're a concerned parent or grandparent, or an athlete yourself seeking guidance, ILP Sports Consultants is your beacon of hope in sports injury management. Visit ilpsports.com today. That's the letters ilpsports.com. ILP Sports Consultants, where your well-being is the priority and your recovery is the mission. Choose ILP Sports Consultants for a healthier sports journey, helping you get back in the game the smart way.
We're well into January, and we have some great football yet left to play as the playoffs are starting to heat up in Wild Card Weekend in the NFL, and the college bowl season is about to wrap up with a national championship game. We're going to go back in history for this January 10th episode and look at the NFL and its Pro Bowl games, its championship games, and some great transactions and people, as we'll talk all about it in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the Pig Pen, where we'll talk about the football history headlines and the great birthdays of Hall of Famers on this January 10th episode. So let's get right at it, and we'll start off with your headlines. It's January 10th, 1953, Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The third NFL Pro Bowl game was played. What a top-notch bunch of players were in the field for this one. The list of quarterbacks alone per the ProFootballReference.com website will give you the goosebumps. Y.A. Tittle, Norm Van Brocklin, Bobby Lane, and Otto Graham. In the backfield were names like Frank Gifford and Doak Walker. And great defensive names too, like Ernie Stotner, Chuck Bednarak, and so many more. The National Conference defeated the American Conference by the score of 27-7. The game's most valuable player was Don Dole, the defensive back from the Detroit Lions. January 10, 1965, Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum once again. The 1964 edition of the NFL Pro Bowl game was played. This time, it was the Eastern Conference that was coached by Don Shula, then of the Baltimore Colts, and he matched wits with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Brant Collier, who would mastermind the strategies of the Western Conference. According to the website SportsHistoryCollectibles.com, the West more than doubled the offensive production of the East with 411 yards to 187. It was no wonder that the Western Conference defeated their Eastern counterparts 34-14. The MVPs of the game were quarterback Fran Tarkenton of the Minnesota Vikings and defensive back Terry Barr of the Detroit Lions. Next, we'll move to January 10th, 1982, at Candlestick Park in San Francisco, the NFC Championship game, and what has become one of the most iconic moments in NFL history and the defining play that established the dynasty of the 1980s. With 58 seconds remaining, quarterback Joe Montana scrambled right and was under heavy pressure from the doomsday defense of Dallas when he suddenly let a pass sail high, seemingly to those observing it to be out of bounds. But suddenly, appearing from almost out of nowhere, was Dwight Clark's leaping, outstretched fingertip catch for a touchdown to give the Niners the lead in the sixth lead change of the day. The Cowboys were not done yet, according to NFL Network NFL 100 Minute. Relive the catch clip. Down by one, Cowboys quarterback Danny White connected with Drew Pearson for a 31-yard hookup that drove Dallas to the San Fran 44-yard line. The Cowboys called timeout, and then on the next play, White was strip-sacked and the 49ers recovered to hang on to a 28-27 victory to propel them into the Super Bowl. January 10, 1982, at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, the San Diego Chargers had to put on their parkas to travel to chilly Cincinnati to play the Bengals in the AFC Championship game. We found a great story on this game on FullPressCoverage.com, where they tell the game time temperatures were 9 degrees below zero on the Fahrenheit thermometers. With a constant 27 mile per hour wind, the wind chills were recorded at minus 59 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you remember back at our December 31st post, we said that the 1967 NFC Championship game, fondly remembered as the Ice Bowl, had a temperature of minus 13 degrees Fahrenheit, and that was the coldest game ever played in the NFL. But yet, they did not have the wind chill factor that the Freezer Bowl did, though. So wind chill-wise, the Freezer Bowl is the coldest NFL game on record. The Chargers, coming from Southern California, were not used to the cold, and it froze their Air Coryell offense. The Bengals had a secret weapon, though. Their head coach, Forrest Gregg, was a Hall of Fame tackle that played on Green Bay squad that had won the Ice Bowl some decade and a half earlier. The Cincinnati Bengals had some true home field advantage in this one as they cruised past the San Diego Chargers to go to the Super Bowl 27-7. January 10, 1990, the NCAA approves random drug testing for college football players. January 10, 1996, the Miami Dolphins franchise announced that they would hire a new coach. Former Dallas Cowboys coach Jimmy Johnson would be their next on-field leader. Johnson, who wore the big shoes and big D by winning two Super Bowls with the boys, was filling in for some even bigger shoes of the now-retired Don Shula, who spent 26 seasons as the Miami field boss. We discuss Shula's legacy and his retirement in the January 5th post. You can catch that link on pigskindispatch.com and read all about that. January 10th, 2011, the University of Phoenix Stadium. The 13th BCS National Championship game pitted the nation's top Division I college teams of Auburn and Oregon against each other for all the marbles. ESPN.com has the story how Michael Dyer of Alabama had run a few yards where then he was spun down by a would-be tackler. Everybody on the field stopped, including Dyer for a moment. But after hearing his sideline yelling for him to keep going, he completed a 37-yard run to drive the ball deep into Oregon territory with about 2 minutes left to play. Michael had landed on top of a tackler on the play and for a moment, but his body never hit the ground and he sprung back up so quickly that the progress did not stop as judged by the officials. The Tigers methodically inched the ball closer and milked the clock. Finally, Dyer took off on another run burst to get the ball down to the Duck 1 yard line. That's when kicker Wes Byram nailed the 19-yard field goal to break the tie and give Auburn the national title. Number one Auburn outlasted number two Oregon 22-19 to win the big trophy. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines and let me remind you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I'm going to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
Now let's talk about those Hall of Famers that have birthdays on this January 10th. January 10th, 1892, Jersey City, New Jersey. Army strong tackle Alex Weyand was born. The National Football Foundation voters chose the name and statistics of Alex Weyand to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1974. January 10th, 1909, the great guard who played at the Washington University of St. Louis and Army, Harvey Jablonski, who celebrated the start of his life. Harvey Jablonski was inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1978. January 10th, 1921, Newark, Ohio. John Tavener, the center of Indiana University, was born. The NFF selected John Tavener to go into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1990. We want to thank you once again for joining us on this episode of your Pigskin Daily Dispatch podcast. And we want to welcome you back tomorrow, because tomorrow we have some great things to talk about. We'll talk about the second commissioner of the NFL and what he did for the league, as well as we start getting into more Super Bowl games that were played on January 11th and some more NFL Pro Bowl games. Well, we want to make sure you do those. So hit the subscribe button on your podcast player or visit your favorite podcast provider and recommend that you listen to the Pigskin Daily Dispatch podcast. You can also find us on pigskindispatch.com, where there's some other great stories and some other great things of football history there. And speaking of history, why not look at all sports history and go on the sportshistorynetwork.com, where you'll find this podcast as well as a bunch of other very talented podcasters and who have some excellent guests that talk about sports histories of all sorts. We've got football, we've got a little bit of baseball, basketball, everything there, even some weightlifting and boxing. So for everything for the sports historian is on the sportshistorynetwork.com, and make sure you check that out, as well as pigskindispatch.com. And if you want to get a hold of me, Darren Hayes, you can write me by email at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, or on Twitter at pigskindispatch, or on Facebook, the Pigskin Dispatch Facebook page. So make sure you check us out tomorrow, and we'll see you then. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the Official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the Official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.